The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
Today, we're going to talk about prayer. Prayer is, strangely enough, kind of hard. Have you ever tried to pray quietly for 15 minutes? No distractions, no interruptions. For many of us, even 15 minutes may seem like a marathon. And maybe you're like, Devin, 15 and I'm just getting warmed up. God bless you, right? That's great. That's amazing. But for many people, praying is difficult. It's hard. And it requires a lot of work. There's also a sense in which prayer shouldn't be that difficult. It's just like a combination of talking and thinking, right? It's directing kind of the internal dialogue towards God in heaven. I mean, we know that God already knows what we're thinking, but for some reason, many of us still struggle with being intentional and directing those thoughts to God himself. Prayer can be difficult. Prayer can be hard. You see, because praying forces us to slow down. It forces us to be quiet. It makes us feel a little bit vulnerable, a little bit exposed. It's hard to keep that facade up when you're praying to God in earnest. But today, we're going to look at God's Word, specifically Jesus' teaching on prayer. And we're going to find some good news for those who find prayer difficult. You see, there is no one better to learn from than Jesus. No one ever prayed like Jesus. No one ever aligned their will with the Father in heaven like Jesus. No one else ever poured themselves into prayer for the good of others like Jesus. In fact, prayer wouldn't even be possible without what Jesus has done for us on the cross. So if we're going to learn about prayer from anyone, the best place to start, the best place to learn is from Jesus himself. And today in Jesus' teaching, we're going to walk through it here in the Sermon on the Mount. Today in Jesus' teaching, we're going to see that he is showing us one very important but simple truth when it comes to prayer. And it's this. Don't overthink prayer. Just do it. Don't overthink prayer. Just do it. So let's look at the text and see how he gets us there. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 5. And then turn over one chapter to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now this is taking place again in the Gospel of Matthew, a biography of Jesus, showing us that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God come in the flesh, that he died on the cross and was literally and physically resurrected and raised from the dead. This is a biography of Jesus. And in this section, we're walking through the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus' most famous, influential, and longest recorded sermon that we have. Jesus is teaching us, his followers, what it means to live as a citizen of kingdom. What does it look like for his followers to live their lives for the glory of God? And here today, Jesus is going to teach us about prayer. Matthew chapter 5, again, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. This is the word of God for us today. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is God's word for us today. You see, it's very clear that we're talking about something in prayer that is both, in one sense, challenging and difficult to fully realize in our lives, but in another sense, just simply shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that difficult. It should be natural. So don't overthink it, just do it. Don't overthink it, just do it. And what we see from these verses is two specific ways that we tend to overthink prayer. And these are drawn right from the text. So here's the first way that we overthink prayer. Don't worry so much about what other people think. Don't worry so much about other people's opinions or evaluations of your prayer. Don't worry so much about what others think. Look at what Jesus says in verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray. You see, if you were hearing Jesus preaching through, this wouldn't make sense if you paused right there. He says, don't be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray. Like, that sounds kind of strange, but he goes on. They love to pray what? To pursue God's will, to experience intimacy with their Father, to align their will with His? No, what? So they can be seen. They go to the synagogues, they go out on the street corners, and they pray in public so that everybody will look at them. They're overthinking it. Don't worry so much about what other people think. Have you ever met somebody, and this, again, I'm kind of poking fun, and this may be you, and maybe this is just like a learned habit, and God really does meet you in it. That's fine. But you ever meet somebody who, when they pray, for some reason, they just get sucked back into the 1600s? With all these these and thous and thines? And they never talk like that in normal? You don't have to do that. Don't overthink it. Just do it. Don't worry so much what other people are thinking. Don't worry about showing off your verbal fluency, your spirituality, how gifted you are. Some people, for some people, prayer just comes naturally. You ever been around those people? And you're like, how do they do that? You're looking to see if they're cheating or something, if they're reading off their phone. But no, it just comes naturally to some people. It's a skill that you develop. It's an exercise that you work at. But it doesn't matter what other people think. Stop worrying so much about what other people think. Here's an example of how some Christians will do this. You ever be in like a circle or in a group and you're praying around the circle? Right? And you're sitting there and you're like, okay, there's seven of us. Each person's probably going to go for about 2 minutes. It's 14 minutes. Bobby tends to go a little long. So I should be home in about 27 minutes. Right? Or maybe that's just me. Right? Or you're sitting there in a group praying and you're counting down and you're like, oh, I got a good one. You're like rehearsing your lines before prayer time. You're like, I'm going to open with this, probably transition to this, and then land my prayer here. This is really going to impress them. And you're sitting there praying in a circle and then somebody steals your thunder by going a little bit early and you're like, oh no, I got to scramble. Right? What is going on in our hearts and in our heads in a situation like that? We are obsessing over what other people think about our prayers. Don't do that. Instead, focus your heart on praying for what the other people are praying for. I have an extremely active imagination. Right? And so I find I get distracted very easily if I'm not fully engaged or personally participating in something. So in a prayer circle, I tend to get a little bit distracted and maybe start doing some mental math about how long this is going to take. But what has really helped me has been to, instead of just allowing my mind to think thoughts, kind of whatever comes up, but to really focus my thoughts and saying, okay, this person is praying for that person. I'm going to pray in my spirit in the same time. I'm going to pray for that person as well. Letting other people's prayers guide and kind of give point to my own so I can pray along with them. Don't worry so much about what other people are going to think about you. Don't get worried about, what if I don't say the right thing? What if this person prays longer than me? What if this person has a more developed prayer? What if this person doesn't stammer or stutter when they're praying? Don't worry so much about what people think about you. Jesus doesn't want you to be the hypocrite in this story and to obsess about other people's opinions of you. Man, if your heart is right with God, go for it. Pray. Don't worry so much about what other people think about you. In fact, he even goes so far here in the text to show us a little way that we can make a tangible step in the right direction. Go be alone. That's what Jesus says. When you pray, verse 6, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, obviously, Jesus is not saying here that you can never pray in front of other people. Because there are instances throughout the Gospels and in the rest of the New Testament, throughout the Old Testament as well, where God's people are gathered together in prayer, where individuals are praying together, where groups are praying together. And that's just part of the Christian life. Christians are called to pray together. But what Jesus is doing here is he's making a real point. That if the only time you pray is in public, you got a real problem. If you only pray when other people are watching, you're not praying for God, you're praying for other people. Don't worry so much about what other people think about you. You see, there's two aspects to our prayer life, of course. There's the public component of being with other people, of exercising this gift from God to bless those around you who are hurting. There's a public component to prayer, but there's also a private one. And if your ratios are off, you could be betraying the truth that you're actually a hypocrite. Because you're not praying to be with God. You're not praying to experience Him. You're not praying to enjoy Him. You're praying so you don't look like the odd one left out in the group. Don't worry so much about what other people think about you. So why does Jesus offer us this advice to go alone? Go somewhere private. I think there's two primary reasons. The first, like we've been talking about, is to avoid pride. Right? Let the facade fall down. Drop all the airs. And just be with God. Avoid pride. But I think there's also something important for us today in our context. Avoid distraction. Now, it's great to pray on the fly, to pray when God brings something to mind, to pray when you're commuting, little popcorn prayers, whatever pops up in your day, you just pray it out, right? That is a tremendous way to be. And in fact, if some of you are waiting to get that 3-hour block of uninterrupted time to really devote to prayer, it may never happen in your life stage, right? So I'm not saying that the only valuable prayer is the prayer when you're alone. Not at all. But it's beneficial to pursue time alone with God so that you can avoid pride and that you can avoid distractions. I've noticed something in my own prayer life. That when I'm praying, I don't know if it's the devil, I don't know if it's my flesh, I don't know if it's the way that God has just hardwired my brain. But I can be, if I need to do a password reset because I forgot a password, all I need to do is start praying and I'll remember that right away. It doesn't matter how many capitals or non-capitals or special characters I have to use or how long it is, right? If I forget anything, apparently it just comes to mind whenever I'm praying. So I'll be sitting there, I'll be like, okay, dear Lord. And then it's like, 2009, I lost my wallet. I know where it is. Huh. Okay, sorry, God. Just, Lord, I do pray for my brother who is hurting. And then, boom, I got a library book that's due. 25 cents a day. Probably about $3 I owe right now. Huh. I should probably go do that. Right? And all these things. So what I have actually practiced and put into place is to have a post-it note beside me. And instead of fighting the distraction, just say, okay, see if my wallet's still out in Halifax, you know? Okay, see if my library book can be returned. Okay, here's my login password that I forgot. And just write them down and stay focused and engaged. But I'm telling you, pursue a place and a time that you can be alone with God, that the distractions can be cut down. Right? We live in a day and age in which we are literally, physically, and chemically addicted to our technology. Right? It is unbelievable. So put the phone away. Right? Turn the music off. Sometimes I listen to just ambient sounds, either nature sounds or brook sounds or something, just water on the tin roof or something, just to cut out the outside noise. But slow down. Be alone with God. Avoid pride and avoid distractions. You see, Jesus prayed in public, but he also prayed passionately in private. Jesus prayed in the early morning as well as the night. He prayed both before and after the great events of his life. And he prayed when he was unusually busy. Jesus had all the cause in the world to say, I just don't have time to pray. I mean, I'm healing and I'm teaching and I'm driving out demons and I'm doing all of these things. It's just the demands on me are endless. I just don't have the time. But what do we see? Jesus was intentional. Early in the morning, late at night, he prayed. In Matthew 14:23, we read these words. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. See, all we're doing is following the model of Jesus, the path of Jesus. Yeah, he prayed in public. But man, his most passionate prayers took place in private. And he made space for that in his life. So when it comes to prayer, don't overthink prayer. Just do it. And don't overthink it by worrying all the time about what other people think about you. Jesus doesn't want you to be a hypocrite. He wants you just to pray. Now, don't worry so much about what other people think, but here's the second one. Don't worry so much about your words. Okay? Now, don't obsess over, did I get the right word? Did I say the right thing? Now, obviously, I'm not talking about being flippant or cavalier in your approach to God. You're worshiping, you're engaging, you're communicating here with the Almighty, all-powerful, creating and omnipotent God. Like, this is who God is. So a little bit of humility is a good thing. But don't obsess and think that somehow you got to get the right magical words to get God to do what you want. I mean, look at what he says here in the text. Verse 7. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You see, there was this practice then, and we see it even today, that views God like some kind of magical force that we can manipulate if we get the magic right. So if we say the right words, if we say the right words enough times, then we can twist God's arm into doing what we want him to do. Jesus says, you don't have to do that. Your Father in heaven already knows what you need. These pagans, these individuals who didn't understand their relationship with God, that he was their Father in heaven, that he could be their Father in heaven through what Jesus would do on the cross, man, thought it was just about manipulating God and forcing him into these things. He says, you don't have to do that. Praying these mantras over and over, mindlessness and thoughtlessness. Now, Repetition. Repetition is not the problem. Mindless repetition is the problem. Okay? So, Pastor Luke talked about the Lord's Prayer that we're going to be walking through over the next number of weeks. That is a great prayer to memorize. That has been practiced as a prayer throughout the church for 2,000 years. It is good to memorize the Lord's Prayer. It is good to use the Lord's Prayer. As a kid, that was one of the first prayers that I think prayed in my own kind of at night in my heart to God, the Lord's Prayer. There's nothing wrong with repeating written prayers, using written prayers as a guide, of praying for memorization, of following a specific template in your mind of prayers. There's nothing wrong with any of these tools in any of these days. Repetition is not the problem. Vain repetition, mindless repetition is. Imagine, this is all hypothetical. Imagine my wife and I are struggling, and so we go to counseling, and the therapist is like, Devin, you just need to affirm your wife more. And I'm like, okay. You know, I write fairly often. Words come to me quickly. And so I write up this little, like, list of all the things that I appreciate about my wife. Now imagine that I get that list and I laminate it and I put it in my pocket. And I come home and I'm a beast. And I'm loud and I'm brash and I'm angry and I'm huffing and puffing all the time. A real keeper. Now let's imagine that I continue this all night long, and then right before we go to bed, pull out the sheet of paper, and in between criticisms of the cooking or what else in life, I say, I love you and adore you, and I think you're so great, and I really value our time together, and thank you for all that you do. Fold it up, put it away, and then go right back to being a beast. Does that mean anything? No, because it's just mindless. What do you think God really appreciates more? A mindless mantra repeated over and over and over? Or a humble and simple prayer offered in faith? You know the answer, right? So what this means is that you don't have to manipulate your Father in heaven or try to do such a thing by praying in this magical, specific, and secret kind of way. Don't overthink prayer. Just do it. Don't worry so much about your words. Sometimes prayers are long and sometimes they're short. Sometimes they're focused and sometimes they're just about enjoying being with God. You know, Jesus is graciously saying here to people like you and people like me, don't overthink prayer. It's just talking to your Father. Now, I want to apply this in some specific ways, so bear with me here. Hey, kids, listen up. Okay, kids, for real. Parents, do the old elbow thing. Kids back here, you're all tracking with me? Listen to me very carefully, okay? Kids, listen. God wants you to pray. God delights in your prayers. God wants to meet you in prayer. So what this means is if you have a bad day at school, you can tell God about that. Right? If you get in trouble for something and you're like, why did I do such a dumb thing? Talk to God. Ask Him to help you to obey your mom and dad, to honor Him. Kids, God wants to hear from you. You don't have to worry about if you get it right. You don't have to worry about if you get all the words right or you say different kinds of words or the wrong words. God's not like that. He's your Father in heaven, so pray to Him. Just talk to Him, guys. New Christians, right? Maybe you've come to faith recently and you've been in a group setting and you've been like, good night. How do these people do it? I'm like, I'm sorry, are you a pastor here or something? Because you're just like, you're praying like a saint. Don't be intimidated. At Summerside, we're okay with people on the journey. If the heart is right, there's no wrong way to pray. Nobody's going to criticize your prayers here at Summerside. And if they do, me or somebody else will give them a slap, I can guarantee you. Right? Because we're okay with people on the journey. None of us have arrived yet. Right? None of us pray like Jesus. We're all works in progress on this front. So if you're a new Christian, don't be intimidated. Don't be nervous. Don't say, oh, I can't pray. I'm like, yeah, you can pray. That was a prayer. You just needed to say it to God and not to me. Your first one's free. Just pray. Don't overthink it. Just do it. If you're a new Christian, if your heart is right, there is no wrong way to pray. Moms and dads. Okay, it's good to pray with your kids. But listen to me very carefully. Make sure that your prayers to God with your children are not vain repetitions. Right? So maybe you have a little saying, right? Lord, I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my... Don't just repeat something mindlessly and teach your kids that that's what prayer is all about. Right? Even those moments, even before a dinner meal, pray with a little bit of intentionality, with a little bit of thoughtfulness, and not just reciting the same words that you always say because, you know, if you don't, then God's going to poison you in the food. But be serious with that. Be real with that. Pray well for that. Husbands and wives, do you pray together? You should. It's good. You know, Heather and I, my wife and I, have prayed consistently together throughout our marriage. But there was a season in our lives in which we were going through some really difficult stuff. And as we leaned into each other and as we leaned into God, we kind of stumbled into a habit of praying together before bed. And what's fascinating is how it becomes a habit. Right? In a good way. It just becomes something that we do. So at night, I grab her hand, she grabs my hand, whoever remembers first, and we spend time praying together. That's a beautiful thing to help connect a marriage, to help it grow in its intimacy and vulnerability. And I'm not saying that you need to pray every night before bed or there's problems going to arise, but I am saying this. The prayer should be something in your marriage that you do. And I get it. It's awkward sometimes. But do it. It's a good thing. Don't overthink it. Just pray. Here's another one. Friends, if you have somebody who's going through something difficult, man, especially another believer, somebody else who's a Christian, pray for them. It can be awkward. It's not awkward. You may feel awkward. When somebody says after the service that they're not doing so well, to say, hey, would you mind if I prayed for you? Oh, you got a job interview this week? Hey, could I pray for you? I mean, I'm a pastor, and I feel that way sometimes, that it's awkward. You know, Heather and I will have people into our house. Maybe they're going through something difficult. Maybe they're preparing for marriage. Maybe it's just a new family that we're trying to get to know or something. And I always have this bad habit of saying to them when we're leaving or when I'm kind of kicking them out because I'm done, I'm tired. I'll say to them, do you mind if I pray for you? And I don't know why I say that. It's my house. I'm in my house. I'll do what I want. Right? So I say to them, do you mind if I pray? It's my house. I'll do what I want. And I'm a pastor. You came to the pastor's house. Right? You should expect me to pray in that somewhere. But there's still this hesitation because I think I'm worried about what they think. What if they don't want me to? Or what if they think it's lame? Or Then God save me from that. Don't worry about what other people think. Don't worry about the specific words that you need to share or that you need to use. Don't overthink it, just do it. And finally, I want to talk to you today if you're not a Christian. Because if you're not a Christian, if you have not experienced the new birth that is available to you in Christ, your first prayer needs to be calling out to Jesus to save you. Asking Him to forgive your sin through His sacrificial and atoning death on the cross. Because you can't pray to a God that you don't know. And if you have not yet trusted in Christ, God is not your Father in this intimate and familiar way. God is your enemy. You have set yourself up in opposition to Him. So what you need most, your first prayer, your introduction to prayer, should be calling out to God to save you and rescue you. And my prayer is that you do that today. See, we overthink it. We complicate it. But God wants to be with us. Think about it this way. When little Johnny was 1 year old, he was adopted into this incredible family. His parents were fun, they were gracious, they were gentle, they were loving. They were committed to him, body and soul, fully and completely from day one. And Johnny began to grow, and he grew stronger, and he grew smarter, and he grew faster. But there was a problem, that even as Johnny was learning his words, he wouldn't talk to his parents. As he grew a bit older and went to school, man, he would talk his friends' ears off. He would talk to the teacher, man, he would talk to the mailman nonstop. But he wouldn't talk to his parents. So one day at school, his teacher, who knew about the situation, asked him, said, Johnny, why don't you talk to your parents? And Johnny's reply was, well, what if I say the wrong thing? No, we are just like Johnny, right? We've been adopted into the family of God. God is our Father, and He loves us, and He welcomes us. And so many of us hold ourselves back thinking, what if I get it wrong? What if I mess prayer up? Johnny's parents wouldn't care what he said, when he said it, how loud he said it. They just wanted to be with him, to communicate their love to him, to know him, to have him know them. And it's the same with God. Don't overthink it. Just do it. You see, once again, it comes back to the gospel. Because the foundation of our prayer, listen to me very carefully, the foundation of prayer is not what other people think. It is not the words that you are saying or not saying. The foundation of prayer is Jesus' death and resurrection. You see, Jesus on the cross, the veil was torn. So the veil that separated us from God. And all that sin and all that shame and all that garbage that stood in the way of our relationship with God was paid for in full by Jesus. So there is nothing holding you back from entering into God's presence now. So go to Him. Don't overthink it. Just pray. My challenge for you is this. Tuck this away. Because when you're suffering and you don't know the words to say, don't overthink it. Just do it. When your kids are making decisions that break your heart and you don't know how to pray, don't overthink it. Just do it. When you're fearful, when you're anxious, and you're not sure what's going on in your body, in your soul, don't overthink it. Just pray. If you're sitting there convicted and you're like, man, I got to grow in my prayer life. Great. Don't overthink it. Just do it. You don't need a 5-year plan for your prayer life. Start today. Don't overthink it. Just do it. You see, because of what Jesus has done, because of his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, because of the forgiveness of sins that he offers, he frees us from the pressure of worrying and obsessing about what other people think about us. He frees us from the pressure and the worry and the concern of, did I get the right words right? What if I say the wrong thing? Well, even if you mess up and sin in prayer, Jesus has grace for that. Even if you do it wrong, Jesus has grace for that. So trust in him. Don't overthink it. Just do it. Let me pray. Father, I begin with confession as always. And man, it's hard to speak on prayer without feeling a little bit convicted. And I thank you for that, God. And I pray you don't harden my heart and keep me soft to that. But God, I want to grow in prayer personally. So help me in this, I pray. God, for those who are here who are not Christians, would their first prayer be a prayer for mercy and forgiveness from you? Give them the strength, the courage, the eyes to see, the heart to experience all that you have to offer them, Jesus, and what you have accomplished in your death and in your resurrection. God, for my brothers and sisters here today, we want to be a people that pray. Not so that we look spiritual or that other people notice. Not so that we can boast in our impressive words. Not even so that we can twist your arm to get more stuff out of you. But we want to be a people who pray because we love you. And we love being with you. And we want to experience the intimacy with you that Jesus has made possible through his death and resurrection. So today, from your word, this season as we look at the Lord's Prayer out of Matthew, God, will you shape us into being a people who pray just a little bit more in line with you? Help us to be a people who pray well, not for applause, not for recognition, but for your glory and your glory alone. We ask this in the great name of Jesus. The most incredible man of prayer that has ever lived, the one who makes prayer even possible. We pray it in that name. Amen.